The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombeye. It's 15 minutes past the hour of 6. It's the 17th of March, 2026. And we are diving into the year of 2026. Wherever you are, wake up and do the best that you can do. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station. That is Eagle FM Namibia. And we are always indicating to you, particularly every morning, to say you don't need to give up. You need to wake up and fight, because life is war. Wake up and go to the fight, because it's about life is war. And Sun Tzu, one of the Chinese writers, the well-known thinkers, indicated to say life is war. And in one war, you pick which battles you are going to fight. And you must be very picky, because if you are fighting all the battles, you will not achieve your goals. That's why the greatest generals of notes understand that, you know, it's not about winning all the battles, but it's about winning the whole war, and make sure that you continue fighting, and you don't expect life to be easy. That's why people are always indicating, and the thinkers who have already gone indicated to say, in terms of what you expect, do not pray for an easy life. Pray for strength so that you'll be able to go through life tougher and, you know, being able to achieve what you want to achieve, and make sure that you are impactful, because in persuasion of your personal goal, make sure that you uplift others. There are people who are saying, me, my wife, me, my husband, me, my girlfriend, me, my things. You know, you exist because of the community. And what the world have survived through, and what the world have managed also to, how the world have managed also to put Africa down, is by dividing us. But if we have to work together, I'm always telling people that if there is one thing that you can learn from the Jews of this world, is about cooperation and also working together and uplifting each other, because you know, they realize that there is power and strength. So that is for this morning. However, we have a lot of news today, especially looking at the continent of Africa, looking at Namibia. But, you know, it's quite very important, especially in this regard, to look at the case of the continent, to see what is really happening in the continent, because everybody spoke more on what the Middle East war has done, especially looking at Egypt today. And signs are being seen in Namibia, not only in terms of panicking, but you can also see institution not really fighting, but competing for the storage of you know, oil facilities. You see signs are there, and you realize that it's not only about what we see on TV, but it's also coming. But are we ready for the storm? Are we ready for what is coming? And some are saying you don't need to panic, really, because life has always been like that. But you know, those things are already being seen, especially around the country. And looking at the continent of Africa, starting from Democratic Republic of Congo, they stated that the president of Congo creates financial and economic criminal court. And that is one of the special courts that are created. This one of the special courts that are created. And it stated that the Congolese president, Felix Tshisekedi, signed a decree law on Saturday to create a brand new specialized court to deal with economic and financial crimes such as corruption and money laundering. And, he is making moves. If you look in many other countries like Namibia also, you realize that you have different kinds of court. Different kinds of court. You have the labor court. You have the criminal court. You also have electoral court, your children's court, and other people. Speaking about having different kinds of court so that you can deal with specialization. And I think we also need the court that deal with cyber and technical issues, because it's like we are really overwhelming magistrate and lawyers, because for somebody to defend a person, for somebody to advise a person, imagine coming from a legal ground, and you have to dive into deep scientific affairs. And with the change of technology and robotics, I think in terms of specialization, in terms of specialized court, I think we also maybe have a court of robotics, or maybe court of AI, so that we deal with technicality of issues. But this indicated that in DRC, the court was created with the aim of strengthening Democratic Republic of Congo judicial system in the fight against financial and economic crimes, which are numerous in the country. It also stated that previous cases of irregularities or suspected crimes that financial authority forwarded to the judicial system often met dead ends, as magistrates lack the expertise to deal with such cases. And that is exactly what we are speaking about. Especially, you look at Namibia. It's a country which is growing. And when it comes to specialized court, I think we also need to pull up our socks, because our judges, really, and our magistrate, they are going through a lot of things. And sometimes you really see that when you are hearing various arguments, particularly on technical issues, it's very difficult to interpret, very difficult to understand, and that person, for him or her to give a proper legal judgment, the person has to read, the person has to understand, the person also need to look for expert to understand and explain those critical issues. That's why you always see a lot of cases are being postponed, and that's why you always see that the challenges that Namibia had, especially looking at money laundering, is that we did not really understand. We were not even able to, understand complicated issues. When people were speaking, particularly if you follow carefully the trial of or the court proceedings of Fishrod, especially from the beginning, you will not understand. You will not understand commercial issues. You will not understand things that happen currently, especially regarding critical cases. Now imagine a case that involve robots, or a case that involve AI and the current system. It means that lawyers and magistrates have to go through all those things. But a specialized court where you are dealing with an expert, where you have somebody who specializes only in commercial issues, where you have somebody who only specializes in, criminal issues, I think that will really help. And you see, with the raising of commercial issues, money laundering, and also issues of illicit financial flow, I think that area of specialization really matters, particularly in a country such as DRC. And the dynamics are changing. The dynamics are changing, especially in Democratic Republic of Congo. If you look at the current reports, and also look at the situation, you realize that, I think we underestimated Felix Tshisekedi, or that is his move. You realize that regardless of M23 pressure, you realize that M23 is now, being pressured. And that happened, especially after the deal with the United States of America. And you must be able to realize that when Felix Tshisekedi and Paul Kagame went to United States of America, the first person to get that the health aid was Rwanda. But after that, what you have seen is also that there was a bit of a pressure from US side with the DRC. But I think he managed to strike a deal. That's why you see when it comes to the war of drone, it's like now he has an upper hand. And you can also see that when it comes to the leadership of M23, it's under fire. It's under fire. That's why you were able to see that in recent days, the spokesperson and also some of the senior leaders of M23 were shot down through targeted drone strike. And if you connect events really together, especially with the Democratic Republic of Congo, you can also be able to see that it's like they have an upper hand now. Because in the current situation, when you look at, for example, in Rwanda, you realize that top five generals, military staff in Rwanda, they were sanctioned by USA. Then Rwanda has been a very good friend of USA, but it seems like there's still a cut being played there. But one will be able really to say that if Segendi is really moving this way, it could be that there will be hope for Democratic Republic of Congo, the richest country in the world with the poorest population, which hold the center of global minerals that are discovered. And there are also speculation to say there is still unknown underground minerals that are underground Democratic Republic of Congo. That's why prediction are indicating that what is known, mineral deposit underground DRC, is equivalent to the whole economy of United States of America. And you must be really look at DRC, because if that country have to have peace, stability, nobody can pick it up from the ground. It will be the center of African Union, it will be the center of excellence. But the question is, why? What have we done wrong? And why are we still here? Especially looking at the situation of African, African countries. Yeah, while we are there, this noted that Somalia gave a warning to Israel. Somalia won against Israel. Especially when Israel is trying to put a military base, or plan to put a military base in Somaliland. Stated that Somalia has won against alleged Israel plans to build a military base in the breakaway region of Somaliland, whose independence of Somalia does not recognize. And Somaliland is one of the new countries that not entirely recognized, but it's a breakaway from Somalia. And the only country that recognized, I think it's only recognized by three states. It's not part of the UN, but it's within us, Africa. That's why you still have those unrecognized state, or it has a feature of the state, but it's not the entire state within the global sector, but it's operational and somehow independent. And there are indication also that Israel wanted to put a military base in Somaliland. And the issue of military bases now, it has seemed to be a distraction. That's why the question should always be, when you are putting a military base closer to me, who are you targeting? Because what you have seen in the Middle East, you realize to see some military bases are not just there for the protection of the countries, but they are strategic. Let us look at NRSC and come back.
Choose driving sober over driving intoxicated. Choose to obey speed limits over speeding. Choose to use pedestrian crossings over crossing just anyway. And choose to replace worn-out tires over pinching pennies. Choose to do the right thing on our roads and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yeah, that is an indication. It's stated that Israel was the first UN member state to recognize Somaliland independence last December, striking partnership with a breakaway region. And, you know, although the breakaway is not recognized by African Union, and also Somalia itself, but Somaliland is also looking for protection. But in this aspect, they won against military bases. And analysts are also indicating to say a military base in the region sitting in front of Yemen across the Gulf end of the Gulf of Aden would allow Israel to conduct strategic airstrike and attack on its adversary, either in Yemen or also Lebanon. But it stated that that was one of the discussion that Somalia is against, because in this current world, a military base of a foreign country is to protect the economy of that country. And when things get tough, it's you who has that military base that you suffer. If you look at a country such as Djibouti, some analysts describing is it satellite state, but it's not a good word to use in international politics. But when you look at how many military bases are in Djibouti, then you understand that you know the superpowers are there, and you realize to say people are pursuing their own interests. When you look at Djibouti, it's also one of a strategic logistic hub, especially entering the African continent. Then you realize that how many military bases, foreign military bases are in Djibouti, and how much are they paying, because it's also part of a rent there, because people are protecting their own interest in Djibouti. Look at France, look at the US, you look at China. Then you understand that that is what is going on. But the pain of having a military base have been seen in terms of economic destruction of countries such as Dubai, Oman, United Arab Emirates, and Qatar. The only country that did not suffer is Turkey. But you realize to say, all those countries with military base of US, they have suffered, and they paid a heavy price, especially when it comes to war. And you realize to say, military and economy, they go hand in hand, and protecting of the interest of one's country come number one. That's why the main concern is to make sure that you protect your interest. And looking at the Middle East, it is stated that the President of United States has urged other NATO members also to put resources together so that they can secure the Strait of Hormuz. But, it is also indicated that in that aspect, there are different views. There's division in terms of the voice of EU. There is division in terms of the voice of EU, especially dealing with that proposal. That's why yesterday it was stated that around 27 EU foreign ministers, they met to discuss about the future of the Strait of Hormuz, because looking into that case, that is the center of global oil supply. Say that the world should live with it, or something has to be done, because whether you are supporting Iran or you are against Iran depends on your view. The Strait of Hormuz is the center of oil, and without it, it's going to be chaotic, because if you remove 20% or 30% of global oil supply, It means that you change the whole equation, you change the whole price, and to substitute that is oil, substituting that, it will not happen. That's why, countries are looking at that to say, that place is so strategic, and whoever going to own it will own the future of the world in terms of the economy. And people are asking, what would happen? What will happen moving forward every day? Because Iran is saying, I'm not negotiating. They are not coming to the table. And USA is also looking other way. And the pain in Israel and Iran, it's tough looking at the increasing numbers of death, especially the casualty of war. Last one, before we come to Namibia, especially, come to Namibia. I think before we look at Namibia and also looking at our conversation for today, this thing of cyber security is not going away, or cyber crimes. But we'll look into that, especially looking at you know, recent events. Yeah, that side of France stated that the former French president Sarkozy is back in the court over Libya financing scandal. Nicolas Sarkozy, former president of France, was in court yesterday for the start of his appeal trial in Libya campaigning financing scandal that already saw him receiving the first 5-year prison sentence last year. The second trial will run until the 3rd of June. And remember that Nicolas Sarkozy, you know, remember that at one point Libya was the richest country in Africa, having money to finance campaign, having money to influence politics in EU. That was how long the arm of Gaddafi was. And still now, how many years after Gaddafi? Because if Muammar Gaddafi died in 2011, you realize that after 15 years, the impact of Gaddafi's influence and the politics of Libya still being seen. That is why you see that even at one point it was stated that Libya Sarkozy was accused of having made a deal with the late Libyan dictator or late Libyan President Muammar Gaddafi, receiving financing for his presidential campaign. And look at how influential was Muammar Gaddafi. But you realize to say, when he went down, the country that he even assisted in financing the campaign, and maybe other means, because if you have to come to Africa to look for finance, realize that there was wealthy. The same French planes that took him down when Gaddafi went down. You know, one of the strength of NATO, and you see a lot of people are saying NATO is not strong without USA. But I understand that when you speak about France and its military technology, one of the things that they are known for is production of jet fighters. And those jet fighters were the one who put Gaddafi down. Then you realize really to say, in this aspect, there was a lot behind that. That's why if somebody come from France and look for assistance in Africa to win a campaign, you realize that at one point Gaddafi was becoming powerful and having influence in Europe and also in Southern America. Because if you read down history, then you understand the politics of oil and influence, then you understand that it was more than what you see. So let's go to a short commercial break. Then we will recently look at the report of the statement from Ukraine, especially regarding recent cyber incident, especially at Namibia Airport Company. And they realize that you don't know if it's international hunters, you don't know if it's Namibians, you don't know if it's foreigners, but the issue of hacking, the issue of manipulation of data, the issue of attacking the system, especially technological system of institution, the issue of stealing data in Namibia is not coming to an end. And I'm yet to see next month when BON will release its first financial stability report to look at the issue of cybersecurity, to say how did we move? Because if you want to ask a question, if you want to ask a question that will not get an answer, ask the question of how much money in Namibia was lost due to cybercrime. Don't even ask about the data and information. Just ask about money. Then you see that we have a long way to go. Then you see that we still have a problem that we are only speaking about. Then you can also ask a question to say, in terms of financing, if you look at our good institutions such as CREN, ask to say, when it got assistance, I think around 2021 there, from Ministry of ICT, let's get those assistance. Did it invest any of the finance in research and development, and also to expand our capacity? And how organized and coordinated is our, NAMCSIRT, especially looking at that response team? And after it responds, is it only dealing with impact after the fact, or does it go to investigate and really capture criminals? Because if you compare to other countries such as Zambia, they have a track record of not only reporting incidents and preventing or do crisis management, but they have a track record of tracing international cyber criminals, catch them, prosecute them, and jail them. And maybe we are also getting there. But let us look at a short commercial break. Then we look at the recent cyber incidents involving Namibia Airport Company. From there, then we'll be able to look at the content of the conversation for today. However, you can still engage us in the studio. You can still communicate with us and air your view at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Eva Tere Urikoni Mondo Toto Ingida, Ashike Kapeno Nweko, Tete Opoye Ekukurile, Oshafa Fana Nongeshe Faili, Meholamo, Ihoe Tike Kovano, Ile Koshuan, Onongeshe Fa, Yapumbo Kukaraya Kovano, okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjika okukwetera oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetera o special angeta shake ngejefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamoiri nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewetike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fai ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngejefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamoiri nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's 47 minutes past the half six. As I indicated, when you speak about what is currently happening, there is communication from CREN, particularly looking at the unit that is responsible for responding to cyber security incidents, cyber crimes, and also disruption in the networks. It was indicated that the Namibia Cyber Security Incidents Response Team, that is NAMCRIST, which is housed at CREN, has confirmed that the network infrastructure and system belong to Namibia Airport Company. We interrupted. And this also indicated that is when the Namibia Airport Company detected incidents following unusual network interruption and operational anomalies. And in that aspect, when you look at what has been indicated, is that institutions, companies, and organizations are being advised to strengthen the cyber security measures, especially looking at what is happening. And you do not know, really, because as we indicated that looking into that, if you look, for example, what have happened, one of the incidents that almost disrupt the whole country is what happened, I think, December 2024, when Telecom and other ministries such as health were hacked, and data, people ran away with data, now with information, and the whole country was on standby. That is where you realize that apart from the physical environment that we are living, there is a cyber environment, there is online presence, and in that aspect you also find experienced criminals who run away with your data. some, not only with your data, but also run away with your finance. And some they require exchange of sensitive information that they steal from you to pay a certain amount of money. It's a ransom. And if you don't do that, your information will be used. And they don't only hack any person. They look at critical data, critical information. And you realize to say, sometimes you look and understand that, you know, some of these incidents, they sabotage our development. And we really need to upgrade our game plan. We really need to upgrade our system on how to respond to cyber incidents. And also how to protect ourselves, how to investigate and capture those criminals. And looking into that aspect, especially when you look at the advanced world, you realize to say cybersecurity become part of everyday discussion, become part of policies. People need to understand these things because you are moving toward the world of, you're already in the world of advanced technology. And losing data and information is more than losing finance, because those data will be used to exploit you. And ask yourself a question. Why, for example, you think a country such as Zimbabwe, after all the suffering, of 20 years of sanctions and, civil conflict here and there, brutal economic inflations, after all those challenges, they refuse to give their medical data to the USA in exchange of millions of dollars for health deal. Why do you think it's like that? Because even if you have that context, giving your data will cost you more than what you see. And some people are saying, no, it's just my information, it's just my ID, or it's just my medical records. Because if, for example, international hunters or any other known cyber criminals, if they go to a system and take away your data regarding your medical conditions, they will understand how many Namibians are suffering from certain condition. Then that will also be used as a market insight, to that extent that they can come up with even a fake medication. That no, if you want certain things to happen to you, or if you want a certain disease to be cured, this is what you're taking. That's why, and I'm not against anybody who take any supplements. You realize really to say, in Namibia there's a lot of supplements, and you ask yourself, how did really people come into this context? How can a certain medication cure almost everything when hospital continue to increase? If you compare the sickness that people are going through and how life have been 50 years ago, you will be shocked. But one of those things is data. But with Namibia Airport Company, we are yet to see. We had to see in a due course, especially after the investigation, how much was lost, how much was taken, and also what does this mean. And, these things happen, especially, to companies that have imported data. Then you really ask yourself to say, have we upgraded our game to look into that aspect? Because if you look at I was looking at how we have managed, really, how we have managed to deal with, for example, the grey listing part. But one of the things that continue to persist, if you look at last year, all the reports of all the financial stability report indicate that cybercrime continue to be the threat. Nothing have changed. Nothing have changed. And how many cyber security criminals have been arrested? How many were prosecuted? On what ground? How many of our magistrates and lawyers understand the deep technicalities of those issues? what can we learn from countries such as Zambia? What can we learn from Zambia in ways and extending? Because that should be part of priorities too, especially when you are dealing with threats. And in that context, realize that regardless of what Namibia is going through, we still have a lot to do while we are also defending ourselves in that context. So listen to the communication from Crane, especially regarding that incident.
The Namibia Cybersecurity Incident Response Team, NAMCET, housed at the Communications Regulatory Authority of Namibia, CRAN, confirms a cybersecurity incident involving the network infrastructure and systems of the Namibia Airports Company, NEC. The incident was detected following unusual network interruptions, and NEC immediately activated its response procedures and contained the situation. NAMCET is working closely with NEC to ensure a coordinated response and to strengthen cybersecurity resilience. We also urge all organizations to strengthen their cybersecurity posture through stronger security controls, multi-factor authentication, and continuous cybersecurity awareness. Cybersecurity is a shared responsibility, and organizations must remain vigilant against evolving digital threats.
That is what's happened. We're waiting for a coordinated response, especially in that aspect. And so to see who is really troubling us, especially in that system, who is really troubling us, and when are these people going to be caught? Are they in Namibia? Are they outside the country? Why Namibia is an open space? Why are we an open book? Why are cyber criminals making more money from Namibia without doing anything? What happened? Because what is also shocking is that, particularly from a research which was indicated to say 90% of cyber incidents gone unreported, and the numbers from last year is indicated that Africa is losing over $5 billion yearly due to cybercrime. And that is only the number based on the research. What about other incidents that are not, reported? And you really need to look into that, in that context and to say those who are in grade 8, going to grade 9 and also going to high school, at what level of understanding are they at? Especially looking at computer, especially looking at this aspect of cyber issues. Because we must make sure that our education is not only being transformational, but the education must be able to respond to the current incident. How is the curriculum of computer science, and also how is the curriculum of even computer literacy at high school? Are you only going to be taught how to open a computer, how to send an email? Because if we are still teaching children in grade 12 how to open a computer, how to send emails, we are already late. Those things were supposed to start in grade 5 already. We are already late. Because by the time we understand technical issues, then it's late. So if Japan, China, Russia, even Iran, children in grade 5, they already know coding. They already know those basic things. When coming to cyber issues, they are the master of that. Ask yourself a question. How come a country such as Iran becomes so powerful? Their investment in technology. But when are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? Because it's one thing to speak about the problem. It's the other thing also to deal with it. But you realize that we have a lot of work to do. So let us look at the short commercial break. Then we can be able to continue. Particularly from the hour of 7. And we are here until the hour of 8. can still engage us in the studio, 083-288-401, 083-288-401. We are saying, so it's already going to be 7, and you cannot be sleeping this time. It's not important to sleep this time, whether you have something to do or you don't know what you are going to do. Wake up and look into the future of what needs to be done. You can't be sleeping this time unless you are coming from work, unless you are really not feeling well, because we don't have time. Time is against us, and look at what needs to be done. And also all the goals that you set for yourself, they are still standing, waiting for you. There is a saying which indicated that, and there was a time I was talking with Dr. Franz, and I think he repeated it, the aspect of say, the dangerous zone, the dangerous place to be is a graveyard. When you die and you realize that all the things that you wanted to do, that you wish to do, you did not complete them, that is the greatest regret. And it's a regrettable regret that there is nothing you can do anymore. Then you realize that you are defeated by nobody but yourself. So wake up and see what the best thing you can do. Can't just be sleeping. But let's look at a short commercial break. Then we look at Senegal. You look at Senegal. And we look at when it comes to Senegal economy. And when you also come to the people of Terag, what have happened, and also how is that crisis going to be dealt with, especially when you are trying to find the balance between solvency, avoiding insolvency, at the same time you are also balancing social stability. When you have debts which are worse than the debts to GDP of France. When you are at 132%, where the, for example, SADC only allow to be between 60 to 65 there. But when you look at countries in that context, especially in West Africa, then you really realize that the current president of Senegal is dealing with issues that are not of his making. But that should also be a lesson, not only in terms of countries, in terms of institution, in terms of organization. You really find a person coming from an institution, either as a CEO or either as a manager, but things are just upside down. You don't know how the person survived all those years, but when the current guy come in, then things are now being revealed. There are hidden debts. Their unpaid accounts, then all the eyes are on the guy who is, you know, sailing that ship. And ask yourself, how come a country managed to hide the debt of $13 billion, external debts? How come in that aspect, and why is so painful now? You know, what is the long term of financial mismanagement? Because you may survive now. You may survive now. But in the long term, how things are going to be. And we also look at deep into and this also bring about a question of international rating agencies too. Because if you look at international rating agencies, you really realize to say sometimes they are also contradicting themselves. I like following, especially Import and Export Bank, Afrimex Bank. I like following its development. One of the things that it has done, it has cancelled its contract with Fitch Rating System. I mean, Fitch Rating Agency, because of biasness, because of it downgraded. Then I come to the point of realizing that even though Fitch Rating Agency and Global Credit Rating Agency, an international institution, the same, and then after a few months, Global Credit Rating Agency has rated Africa import and export thing differently compared to Fiji. Then you realize to say the intention of APRM and also African Union to come up with Africa Continental Rating Agency is commendable, not only to protect African countries, but to be honest and self-assessing, to say, this is your budget. It's a good budget for the country, or it's bad for the future. This is your report from Auditors General. This is what you have failed to pay. This is what it means for your children in the next 20 years or so. And we'll look into that context. So let us look at a short commercial break. Then we'll be able to continue with the conversation, and you really see what other people go through if on things that not of their making. And we have seen it. No, if you look at some SOEs, you don't even want to say their names. You realize to say when the guy has only 1 year in that term. Look at the expenditure. Look at the traveling. Look at and you realize to say, really, are you really doing this for yourself? Is this what you are saying when you are being interviewed to become a CEO? When you are being interviewed to become a MD or a general manager or any other? Or a CFO? Because the expenditure will start to increase, especially at the end of the term of that person. Then you realize really to say it's not good. That is what happened to Senegal. Maybe when people started realizing that they are going to not win those elections, then they started messing up the country. And the young people of Senegal now are paying that price because scholarships are not paid. The NSFAF of Senegal, if you have to put it that way, there is no finance there. Construction jobs are cut. And the president is balancing to say, guys, calm down. I'm balancing this thing. I'm paying external debts, but I'm also trying to keep you here. And other institutions are also asking Senegal to continue borrowing. But you're already at 132% of GDP, of debts to GDP ratio. It's worse. So let's look at this and continue.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of
its staff. Ngilo, wapubwa Eva, tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida, ashike kapeno nweku, dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doinawa nune udo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejepa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. It's 11 minutes past the hour of 7, and we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And our discussion for today, we are really going to look and also assess the long-term impact of financial mismanagement, especially when it comes to state funds, when it comes to issues of governance, and also when it comes to issues of Africa and its crisis, especially when it comes to debt management. If you look at the whole of 2025, you look at all the key events, either it's in the continent or either it's in Namibia, what has been centered there is piling up of debts of the continent. It's the issue of restructuring of international financial system. When you look at the African continent, even African Union itself as a body, as a continental body that is governing multilateralism in the continent and beyond, you really need to understand that at the center of that is that majority of its financing is coming from outside, and without it, you will not hear about it. Why? Ask yourself a question. Why do you have chaos in, why do people have chaos in Madagascar, in Mozambique, but you have never heard of African Union troops? You may have combined troops. Why do you have, for example, in DRC, is finance? That also brings us to finance, to realize, to say, the African countries, although they have been trying to develop since 1960s, when many other African countries started gaining independence, they depend much on international financial institutions. However, there is also something that need to be looked into. That African also ourselves, we are also our own sabotagers, or we also defend ourselves, self-destruction, especially when it comes to the way we deal with state funds. Now, looking at the case study of Senegal being a former French colony, which depends much on gold and also other commodities such as fishing and fruits. With the new president came to power. It's a really young man. He looks young. That is President Faye. When he came to power, there have been hope of the country getting in order, because Senegal is not a small country. It's not a small country when you look at population.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the Basic Mental Health First Aid course, free for NHP members. You learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Yeah, from NHP, look at Senegal. To say the country almost has almost 20 million people. Almost 20 million people. But the recent report after ongoing engagement with IMF, the recent report indicated that the current president of Senegal, together with his finance minister and his prime minister, they have managed to mobilize funds, and they have paid $471 million debts payment, even though they are faced with hard times. That is just some of the money, and you are still standing at 130% of debts to GDP ratio in the continent of Africa and also in the world. They have decided to pay that for them to balance what the country owe. Why is it like that? Because for a long time the country was not being able, not really to say for a long time, but after he came to power, the country was not being able to get finance from external world due to its complication in terms of managing of resources. One of the challenges that has been stated is that when these guys came to power, when Faye came to power, he found out that after, you know, you look at the documents, let us look at what has happened. He found out that the administration of Macky Sall, they have discovered 13 billion US dollars in undeclared debts. That is a lot of money. 13 billion US dollars in undeclared debts. And that was hidden in a country. And that was not revealed to IMF. And it also has frightened the investors too. Now, it is also stated that the same country that university students, they are protesting. And last month, one of the university students died. Teachers have striked. Union says construction alone, construction industry, because construction industry, like financial services, center of many countries' GDP contribution. Construction lost 10,000 of jobs. Now, it's not only that, it's not only about 130%, over 130% deaths to GDP ratio. It's also on the ground that the same country still owe the French, the British, Italy, Spain, and they're already late in terms of their debts. Now, the question that everybody should ask is not only the case of Senegal, is a case of general financial utilization to say, what do you use money after you get them from international institutions? What is your strategy of payment? And what is that you are passing on to the next person? And if you have to come up with internal financial audit of what was lost, what was recovered, what went unspoken, why it went unspoken. Let's look at, take a case study of any country. I don't want you to take Namibia. You can take Namibia if you want, but that is your own choice. You can take South Africa. 1994 to 1990, what happened during administration of Mandela? How much was coming in? How much was going out? How much was lost? How much went unaccounted? How much is hidden debt? Look at what happened during the time of Begging. How much came in? How much came out? How much was lost? How much is in hidden debt? Then you look at the time of Harema Motrante, that short period of time. How was the finance spent? Then you look at Msholozi. What happened in the administration of Zuma? Then you look at Ramaphosa. Then I don't know if the next is Motsepe, is Barura. Or is Mashatire, but you don't know. The question is that how much pain was transferred to the next administration, and what was seen and what was not seen, because this is not only a defense mode; it's a struggle for survival. It's a struggle for survival. It's not only an economic defense mode; it's a struggle for survival. And what lesson can we learn? Is the same. You can bring it at home to say, when the Auditor General is saying amount of money over millions are not utilized, are not authorized to be utilized, who should be blamed? The Auditor General is giving you that you did not comply. What happened after that? Because that should be the fundamental point of departure, to say you depart from where the problem is. Because as we are speaking now, Senegal is busy cleaning the house while it was supposed to be cooking dinner or eating, but they are busy cleaning because things are messed up. So it also further indicated that Senegal state is planning to raise 4.1 trillion CFA on the regional markets in 2026. And it also needs billions to afford the long-term financing. Now, the debts per GDP ratio is 132%. And remember that raising funds to cover your debts is still continue to be a circle, because we still have to pay with a certain interest. Now, what is interesting is that the IMF presented a plan to the government of Senegal too. They presented the plan to say, we have a restructuring proposal. But the Prime Minister Ousmane Sonko has said, no. That is a disgrace. That is what his state is, not me. It's a disgrace. That's why now they are trying to find their own formula to solve this issue. That's why there is a question which I have asked at the beginning, to say, how many countries have removed themselves from poverty after being funded by international institutions? How many of them become so rich through being funded? And if not, would it be the recovery of of Senegal, or is going to be the end of Senegal? And who is going to lose if a country decided to have its own strong financial system? Yes, it may have external fundings, but not entirely depends on it. and ask yourself, why do you think somebody has to hide $13 billion and decree? If that is the known in Africa, in terms of numbers, you already know that if they are saying there is 20 million lost, that is what is known. If there is hidden 13 billions and declared debts, they're known. Count 15 or 20. That should be the case. And the question we should ask ourselves, we should not only generalize it. We should look at what we call not a transition, but continuation of governance and continuation of institutions. Because would it be the same if the previous administration won? Would it be the same? Would it be self-destruction? And there's always one thing which I always say to say. If you look, for example, if you have to choose your colonizer, which is not going to happen actually, just for argument's sake to say, never ever choose to be colonized by French. Because if they colonize you, you're still going to pay to say, thank you for colonizing me. I'm going to continue paying for you. I'm going to continue banking in your country. And I'm going to continue, buying my hotels and houses in your country. Thank you, uncle, for colonizing me. It's an appreciation gift that you continue to pay. It's called colonial tax. You are appreciating for being colonized, but you will not realize that it's colonial tax because you are colonized, even in terms of thinking. And that is how dangerous it is. And I like the current administration also of Angola. You know, those days, our good neighbors, they call themselves, they are from Portugal. Too proud to say, no, Angola is Portugal. But the current administration say, no, guys, we need to come up with the aspect of self-love. We need to come up with the aspect of self-love and also look at the reality of history. And what we see also, and it's not really a bad aspect of being judging to say, I think it's also colonialism of a mind. You see, what have happened, just look at the history of French colonized countries. After somebody took over, they become a top bourgeoisie, the owners of means of production. Then they marry somebody from the former colonizers too. Which is their choice, but it also says a lot about the future of the continent, especially in terms of financial management. So that is the case study of Senegal. It's not a unique case study. It's a case study to remind us that once we start to be individualistic, once we start to think it's only me, David, who can do the things, and I make sure that when Helmut comes, I destroy his things, then that is not only good for, that is not good for anybody. Because now, as life turned out to be a revolving wheel, as life turned out to be a revolving wheel, that the Macky Sall, the previous president of Senegal, and I'm not blaming him actually, what he is aiming for now, he's saying no. He wants to be supported to take over the United Nations Secretary General position. And you see, there have been protests within the country to say no, it's not possible, it's not going to happen. It's not correct because they steal something that you did not do well. If it was maybe Masisi, our neighbor, somebody would support to say, this guy did not have a lot of scandals. He was defeated. He accepted democracy. He continued to save the people of Botswana. Maybe if it was him. But with that the patris, the people are saying, no. If there is already 13 billions that you did not see, how are you going to manage trillions? If you cannot manage, if I cannot manage hundreds, how should I manage millions of money? But it's a democratic right. I want to take over and to assist Antonio Guterres, particularly in managing of United Nations institution. Let us look at Express Credit, and from there we'll continue the conversation, especially when you look at the current news, especially with SA and Madranga Commission.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do.
With Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with early morning scoop. It's 30 minutes past the hour of 7. And uninteresting things happening in a neighboring country, especially looking at South Africa. To say the guy who killed Witness D, the suspect of Witness D, murder suspect, was arrested, and he appeared in court yesterday. And if you look at Witness D is one of the witnesses in an ongoing investigation, especially looking at a Madranga Commission working in parallel with a parliamentary ad hoc committee in South Africa. Then he's a guy who was a reservist, and he at one point was giving testimony, giving statement off the screen to say. But you know, when you are speaking, and it also raised the question of protection of witnesses, to say, if you are in public, if you are speaking at a public platform, everybody is listening to you, and you are talking the story, that is very dangerous. And in that aspect, you are speaking about people who were there. People may be able to guess that is you. That's why, unfortunately, the guy who was giving testimony. And imagine there's an ongoing investigation, person is revealing people's name, then he was shot. Died. It's not only him, because there are around three people who died, who were a witness, and there was even a DJ who was shot. But what is interesting is that when Soviet Lenganyane is indicating that the mafia is not the most dangerous one. The most dangerous part is when the mafia control the government. Is that a suspect? Somebody who is a suspect. These are people who are ex-elite force member, ex-special force member, ex-sniper. It's not the guy who can shoot you with just any gun. Guy who can aim you to say, I'm going to shoot you here. It's an ex-sniper. And have gone through a lot of military training. And he was hired for the job. The question is that who hired him? And understand that the money being paid to these people is a lot of money, especially to do such kind of jobs. And one is praying for Namibia not to come to this stage. And once you look at South Africa, you really realize to say things are so complicated. They are so complicated to that extent that we don't understand anything anymore. And follow the proceeding, look online, and understand how things are operating. Understand what does it mean when you speak about complication within the judicial system, complication within the police system, and also what to learn and what happened when a security man is underpaid, when a security man is not well funded, when a country loses its morals and principles, because it's a finance which is speaking. Because if you look at that court, you look at that engagement, one of the guy, Keith Matala, whose money is equivalent to none, wealthy, calm guy, he was asked a question at parliamentary ad hoc committee in South Africa to say, how come you have 8 bodyguards and around 6 of those guys are ex-special force? Now he indicated that I'm paying them well, I'm paying them 100,000 every month. And they spend around 1 million just for security monthly. And they said, and the former police minister of South Africa, Bekisele, indicated to say, look, when at one point he attended the funeral of one taxi boss, he met some of the guys that he trained and asked them, guys, come back to work for the public sector, come back. Then people are saying, no, there is no money there. Then this also compromised well-trained individuals starting protecting people who are very dangerous. And you can't do anything anymore, because when Soviet Rengajane stated the mafia become the state, you know, when the mafia become the state, is that even when you go and report your cases, there is nothing that will happen. And let that not come also here. And protecting the integrity of institution should be priority number one. Our focus should be business, and economics should be finance. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll continue.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Ngino wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile.
Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angetashia kengeshefa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of
the faith. Early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
You can still call back. You can still call back at 083-288-401-083-288-401, so that you can hear your view, hear your opinion, and understand that we are here to educate each other. That's why we are saying we are not the experts. We also rely on your input and your contribution, because we need to co-create knowledge, because learning is a two-way. You give information, you get clarity. And we say that when it comes to budget analysis, you realize that people there's still ongoing discussion on the current budget. And believe me, you can still give your input, especially write the text message to those politicians that you know, so that they can give that input, because parliamentary input on budget, I think, is still ongoing. And give your perspective, and that is the only way that we can shape, because if it's not suitable, it should be go back and refined. Look at what happened with the South African Parliament last year with Enoch Godogwan. What happened is that they say no, that budget is not what you want, especially when he wanted to increase the tax, and they said go and think about it later. Even the ANC members, they say no, it's not going to happen, that one. Then people come and sit. In Namibia, budget can be debated and passed through. If there are things that we need to clarify, it's our time to shine. Go and analyze. Because one thing to speak is one thing to contribute. And it's also the other thing, for those who are dealing with finance, also to learn, to say what happened to the bill. Can it go back? Can it also move forward? Is it prudent enough? Can it save us from the current happenings? Because remember, there are long-term financial, goals, and also short terms, particularly the unpredictability. Because when you look at where we come from as a country, we have so much for a long time dealt with the unpredictabilities, dealt with smaller issues. We dealt with flood, we dealt with cyber attacks, we dealt with COVID-19. But when it comes to where we want to get into, you ask yourself a question to say, at what pace are we moving into that? Are we still at the discussion level, or we are moving forward? Because it's still ongoing, especially when it comes to contribution of the budget appropriation bill, not yet passed. Understand that. Maybe you can also be able to say one or two things, especially when it comes to development, and also when it comes to what is needed in the country. Yeah, looking at that side of Iran, stated that, looking at that side of Iran, stated that UN warned the cost of $1 billion a day as a humanitarian crisis deepened. $1 billion in a day, $1 billion US dollars in a day, due to humanitarian crisis in a war zone in the Middle East. Morning.
Morning, David. How are you?
Good. How you say?
Fine.
Mm.
How are things?
Situation under control.
You say it's your prayer that ours should not be infrastructured.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, it's also my prayer. I think it's everyone's prayer.
Yeah.
But how sure are you that they have not found their way in already?
Mm-hmm.
How sure are you that the Matlala Cat VIP have not found their way in your system?
No, they might be here, but they are still small.
Small?
Yeah.
When you see some money laundering and all these other things, you're saying they're still small.
But you know what is shocking me. Is somebody within the rank of the police in South Africa who is saying it's a brigadier. You know, they have ranks like the military in SA. You find colonels in the police.
General.
Yeah, and generals. Oh, yeah.
Almost the generals are all, most of them that no. They are carrying their
own. No, their ring is different, but you find a brigadier who is saying, no, I'm the girlfriend of Ketamat. How can you be? No, man. It's not, how can you are a senior police officer and your boyfriend is,
They say that their relation is just on and off, on and off.
No.
But why is it only Matlala that he has?
No, it's not only him. It's interesting to look at this. Africa, they are saying it's a series. Every time you see a new episode, it's like a movie. how can you open up and say that at a platform to say your boyfriend is scared or your boyfriend is somebody who you are investigating and it's not an ordinary person, it's a brigadier.
Imagine.
So you know that is how difficult.
Just giving a boyfriend, this money is just giving somebody giving a boyfriend.
Ah, yeah.
Oh my God. Please, that's why I'm so serious.
Yeah.
And I'm very cautious.
Mm.
And it's very my prayer that we should just make sure that we should be investigating some of these issues.
You know how things started when you start ignoring rent francs from the beginning. It's like a deteriorating love relationship. If you are dating a violent girlfriend, I'm just giving an example.
Yeah.
Then she slap you in private. Then you think no, it's just that she's angry. She's overreacting. Then the time she would do it in the public, things are becoming worse.
I'm telling
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and what infiltration of the system start one by one. It's starting with those smaller things that happen at a constituency level, for example. The smaller things that happen, there's always one guy who is getting the benefit of everything. Mm-hmm. Until it comes to the region, until it comes to, no, it's just Qaeda. You know, that's these things of Qaeda deployment. And until it comes to the point where you do not even know. That's why you have said what the chairperson of ad hoc committee said. You know, the mafia is not the problem. The problem is when the system becomes the mafia. Do you understand what I mean? Who are you going to report to?
And you can see now that, okay. Oh my God, this one is very threatening.
No, who are we going to report to if the girlfriend is the one who is commanding the station?
Matlala.
No, I don't think Matara is the main guy. There are still a lot of things that you need to look at. He's not the mastermind.
No, he's not. And I think they started with, these are the guys who were actually in the Kofut dossier.
And the other thing is that, we don't see the main face of the problem. We just see the small, those are small guys.
Yeah, the main face are even some of those ministers, you know, those ones, some of them have gone and all these things. You see how they link. You always hear this one was the minister, the former minister, what. All these things are linked. And you hear all these things. So it's a really matter of if you plant some undercover people within the system, that's the only way you can grab them.
But there is one thing which I also started realizing to say. There is one statement I made among my friends to say, no, Africans are not corrupt people. They are being corrupted. There is always a beneficiary of the chaos in Africa who is not even in Africa. If you dig deep, you realize to say it's not really about African people. It's about somebody corrupting us. Look at for example Fisherman.
When did Paul Sovel came into South Africa? He came into South Africa in 1989.
Look at Fisherman. People
in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, look at.
They were so deployed. They were just deployed like this. So when the liberation movement are getting independent, so there must be some people who are branded from outside. That's why he was sent through. And so he has to make sure that the system is now turned around. Do you think he has done a great damage? It's just now that you people are discovering it and things like that. Things are coming out. So, but there are those, even the retired ones, because the one that of the age of Paul Sovereigns or whatever, most of them, they have retired. And they actually branded. So go ahead.
No, I was giving an example to say a lot of people, they were blaming Tate. Who is this guy? They call him the mastermind of Fisherot, but it's not him. There was a guy, there are people that are benefiting that are not Namibians. How can an external international company come and just mess up our country? And we are celebrating that the guy is a whistleblower. You destroy our country.
We must
come and answer.
Yes.
You should come and answer. How come? You come and
that's why I always tell you that these people, it's the regime change. I hope you know that concept. And it's not only now, it's not only in America that they are propagating that. It's the regime change, and their region was to target this liberation movement. And it's still going on. So you need to know your history so that you can seriously fight against these things. Some come through those the so-called non-governmental organization. Some come through these political parties and many lines. They just want to find out how can they penetrate and make sure that they reverse the gain of the independence.
I also want to ask a question, and it's general. When you look at all the liberation movements, there's a book written by, I think it's a professor from UNAM on the liberation movement.
Who wrote that book?
I still cannot remember on top of my mind, but it's
a prophet. Not
Hembel. I think it's written in co-authored with Daniel Zaire, Dennis Zaire. And you speak about the liberation movement and all these things, but the question that you should also ask yourself is that did they transform from being a liberation movement to a modern system of governance? Did they transform? Not really in terms of ideology, in terms of what they had in mind at the eve of independence of countries in Africa. Look at Southern Africa, for example. Did they transform and realize those goals? Because when they came to power, they had a clear vision on what need to be done in the next 20 years or so. Apart from, because when we are saying Africa are not the most corrupt people, we are not saying they did not do anything. But did they transform to that standard?
Yes, whether they transformed.
No. Yes or no.
Yes, there are, you know, there are questions. That
okay, okay, okay. When you say yes.
Legal person,
no, when you
always let me know. Yeah. Let me say yes.
Okay, when you say yes, then
let's my ground.
Okay,
it might not be at the level where.
I don't want that. Just say yes or no.
Let's just protect our system, my brother.
Yeah.
I understand you were talking about cybercrime. I was listening to you. All those things, and then now we see, especially where we are now, people are now busy trying to make sure that they put this registration and make sure that all these things are intact, so that we are not become more vulnerable. We are already vulnerable when it comes to these things, and I think you people are doing a very good, because we want to make sure that the laws are really there, enacted, to make sure that you protect those people who are more vulnerable, and everybody actually, most of us are vulnerable in terms of cyber crimes. So let's just reform. Maybe those are some of the areas where you are saying that are they really transformed into modern kind of a thing. So let's now see how we can really reform or enact the laws that are really protecting us, where we feel that it's not not much is done. Let's be on the look and move and change the things.
Thank you.
So if you just say, are we there to transform? Is there a reason? And all these other things, who's going to do it? So they have done their own. They have brought the political independence, and they are still doing this, trying to make sure that the economic liberation is achieved. So where are we going to help them? In the area where they did not do well. I think that's it's a corrective action that is needed.
Thank you.
So thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, let us move. Let us move with the early morning scoop. And we have enough good minutes. You can still able to engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. While we are speaking about that, and I think things that you should look into, things that you should look into, you must be able to follow suit, especially if you want to be a responsible citizen. Look at the numbers of finance coming into the country. Look at the number of assistants, and also look at the regions, and also trace what happened to those finance. Because, for example, if you look at the recent assistant, which is a great assistant from, you know, from World Food Program with South Korea, that donated, you know, over 4,896 metric tons of rice, which have a value of 61 million. To OPM in order to support you know, drought relief program, and it will be distributed across 14 regions. What you need to look at, also look and observe to say, are this really assistance coming to you? But there are still people who can hide the banks of rice into their farms. There was an incident, certain councillor whose name is not going to be mentioned, was given an opportunity to distribute, but the guy just decided to say, I'm taking this one to my farm. It's up to you to go and track. If you are a farmer and you are suffering because of drought, or you are suffering because of unpredictability in terms of rain pattern, do not wait. Go and trace where the funds are. Go and look at the programs by FAO that are working together with Ministry of Agriculture. At what amount of money, what programs are there? How many people are benefiting? Because there is still a lot of good things happening in Namibia. But just because we do not have information, just because we only clap hands when we hear, but we don't ask why those drops of assistance are not reaching us. Because you realize to say, if you look at some programs, you really see some people, they continue to benefit. Then you think they are not in Namibia, but us who do not want to follow information. And we have a problem also of using information. We just look and waiting for things to come to us. Go and ask. Go and ask, when is the rice coming? Is it come? Is it this one, or we still have to wait for another one to come? There are people dying of hunger. There are people being beaten up, end up not eating. But if there is food in the country, as it has been given, then we can be able also to get that assistance. But the question should always be on the table to say, for how long are we going to be a receiving end? For how long are we going to be a receiving end? And how long are we going to be the Somalia of this world? How long are we going to be in the receiving end? To say, are we really poor with just 3 million population to just waiting for the outside to give us, to give us rice? Are we really poor? Can we sustain another pressure? If we are still suffering from 2024 drought, can we really sustain the pressure of other challenges? But yeah, we are the land of the brave. We have suffered and we have overcome. And I think that should not put us down. And it's also the question of our farmers to say, are our farmers ready to transform? Because if you read the Villager newspaper, the past 3 editions, you'll be able to get the content, particularly when farmers realize to say, I have to transform, this sector. If I was only planting mahangu, you realize to say, no, I think I'll try rice. I'll try something new for you to survive and also maintain, the production, particularly the front line of food security. So, dear listeners, that bring us to the end of our conversation. From me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around. And I'll leave you in the good hands of the Big Mic to unpack the day. The mic is there, going to Andangwa. Stay tuned. Bye-bye.